Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This is a true crime and real-time roundup from the On Deadline podcast, where we give the latest on true crime stories reported out of our newsrooms from coast to coast. This week, we're diving into conversations from our stations about a mystery stumping everyone this week: the disappearance of well-known journalist and Today Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy. But first, we'll cover another double-take headline from this week. Former First Lady Jill Biden's first husband, William Stevenson, has been accused of killing his current wife. Jill was married to Stevenson for 5 years. They met as students at the University of Delaware, according to People magazine. And they married when they were just 18 years old. In her 2019 memoir, Jill said that she truly believed that they were destined for each other at the time of their marriage. She also described him as charismatic and said that her parents loved Stevenson. Things were great, at first. Then she described her and Stevenson growing in different directions and called it, quote, counterfeit love. Jill said she was embarrassed and pained by their divorce, and that it left her feeling like a failure. As we know, Jill went on to meet, date, and marry former President Joe Biden. They met the same year that her marriage ended, while on a blind date. At that time, Biden was a senator, and he'd recently lost his wife and daughter in a car accident, leaving him the single father of two young sons. Jill and Joe married in 1977, 2 years after her divorce. They welcomed a daughter, Ashley, in 1981. Fast forward a few decades, past Joe's vice presidency and his presidency, to last month. That's when Stevenson's current wife was found dead. Here's KYW News Radio in Philadelphia reporting on the case.
Accused of killing his wife inside their Newcastle County, Delaware home. With more, KYW's John McDevitt.
Newcastle County police say it was around 11:15 p.m., 3 days after Christmas, when officers responded to a domestic abuse call in the 1300 block of Idlewood Road in the Oak Hill neighborhood. That's near Ellesmere. Officials say 64-year-old Linda Stevenson was found unresponsive in the living room. She was later pronounced dead. The cause of death isn't being disclosed at this time. After an extensive investigation, Linda's husband, 77-year-old William Stevenson, was arrested and charged Monday with first-degree murder for the death of his wife. Officials say Bill Stevenson remains behind bars after failing to post $500,000 cash bail. Stevenson is the ex-husband of former First Lady Jill Biden. They were married in 1970 and divorced in 1975. Stevenson is the founder and original owner of the Stone Balloon Tavern and Concert Hall in Newark, which he opened in 1972. Acts like Bruce Springsteen and Metallica performed there. He sold the business in the mid-1980s.
Linda Stevenson had recently founded her own accounting business, BMB Bookkeeping, according to CBS News. An obituary cited by the outlet didn't mention a husband. It did mention a daughter and grandchildren. The outlet also said that most of Stevenson's neighbors declined to speak about him. However, one did say that they were surprised to hear about the alleged murder.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we'll get into the alleged abduction of Nancy Guthrie. Her daughter, Today Show host Savannah Guthrie, was slated to go to Italy for Olympics coverage this month when her 84-year-old mother went missing on February 1st.
She had been home for no less than 4 hours and 15 minutes. She was dropped off at home by a relative, presumably one of her kids, at 9:45 at night. Goes inside, gets in bed. Her pacemaker pings her watch at 2 a.m.
And geographical that, location or
yes,
just?
Yes, same location.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was the last time.
That was the Dana and Parks show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, describing Nancy's abduction from her home in Catalina Foothills, Arizona, near Tucson. In the days following her disappearance, there have been numerous updates to the search for Guthrie. As of Friday, no suspects or persons of interest had been identified in the case, according to NBC News. Without these leads, authorities have announced a reward. Here's Odyssey station KCBS Radio with the news on Friday.
The FBI is now offering a $50,000 reward in the search for Nancy Guthrie. CBS News Justice Department correspondent Scott McFarlane. Scott, good morning. What's the latest we're hearing from investigators?
Two different things as of this morning. First of all, you mentioned the $50,000 reward that's now being offered by the FBI, which means the FBI is getting more and more involved in this, and that may really help a local county sheriff in Pima County, Arizona, which has very little, if any, muscle memory in this type of unique and horrible case. The FBI handles kidnappings or abductions and attempted abductions quite a bit. So this is their wheelhouse. They seem to be more involved. Then there's the other matter of these dueling or contradictory ransom notes. We know at the federal courthouse today in Tucson, we expect a California man to be charged with sending a phony, if you will, ransom note to try to get money out of his family with no connection at all to the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. That federal charge brings the prospect of prison time and a hefty fine for trying to capitalize, if not profit, off of this tragedy.
CBS News identified this man as Derek Colella of Los Angeles County. He allegedly sent a text to the family on February 4th requesting Bitcoin. According to the FBI, that ransom hoax was not related to a separate February 2nd ransom demand. Several media outlets, including TMZ, have received ransom notes related to the Guthrie abduction.
Scott, what are we hearing from the family? Have they issued a new appeal for help?
They have. There's been two Instagram videos, one by Savannah Guthrie, one by one of her relatives. The most recent one is just trying to encourage communication from whoever may have Nancy Guthrie. They want to open up the lines of communication to find out if there's a proof of life, to find out what more they want or what can be done. As it appears right now, Steve, according to local investigators and what we've seen from the family videos, there's no communication from the potential abductor, and they're trying to change that.
We know that investigators typically don't tell us everything that they know as they work on their investigation. Do you get a sense through your reporting that they do know more than we're hearing right now?
They certainly could have some morsels, and you would want them to be strategic about that. So what we don't know in an abduction case is sometimes it's a method. It's a tool. The local sheriff, though, in Pima County, that's Tucson, southern Arizona, has said, we don't have a suspect or a person of interest. We need more tips. We need more help. There's nothing too small, which indicates they aren't holding back enough to try to close this thing.
We've seen reports that blood was found at Nancy Guthrie's home, and we believe that blood did, in fact, belong to Nancy Guthrie.
The latest reporting we have from CBS News is that it's suspected to be her blood on the front step. I'm not sure what information that gives us beyond they do believe this was an abduction, and I think her blood near her home is consistent with that.
Scott, I know you're immersed in this investigation. You're hearing a lot of the details. I wonder, is your gut telling you anything, pointing you in a direction of what might have happened here?
The way the local sheriff is so declaratively and demonstratively asking for help and asking for information tells me there is a grave concern here that this is not some misunderstanding or some accident. I think you have one of these uniquely rare abduction cases in America. This one involves a celebrity family, and I think the FBI is going to get a lot more involved as this goes along.
Here is more discussion of the case from the Dana and Parks show out of KMBZ in Kansas City.
How in the name of Sam Hill, in the most surveilled area and country there is, with license plate readers and surveillance cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. Can they not figure out even a car description leaving Savannah Guthrie's mother's house at 2 a.m.? And here's why.
They have zero suspect information.
They just said in a news conference, Scott, God bless the Guthrie family, we have no suspects, no video, no clue. Those words were used. Mm. No suspects, no video, mm-hmm. no clue. They have done a DNA analysis of everything in the home. And guess what?
No DNA matching a suspect.
No DNA. All came back to people who belong in that house. He says, basically, we need the public's help. And I said this during a break to the guys. Why at 2 a.m. can you not do one of those geofencing warrant cell phone things that shows which cell phones at 2 a.m. in this very remote, like the houses look like they're 2 acres apart, mm-hmm. which cell phones were on the move at 2 a.m. It's going to be a very small number in a retirement community going 35 miles an hour at 2 a.m. leaving that house.
I'm going to pause us here for a moment because Sam Stevie of the Dana and Park Show had some further insight into Ring doorbells and how they work.
Well, let me backtrack a little bit because I did say that the Ring doorbell being ripped off would increase the likelihood of her being kidnapped. Being part of the Ring neighborhood app in the Waldo area, it's actually fairly common for criminals and potential criminals to be ripping those off the front of houses, now that I think about it.
Because they don't understand. You're not.
They walk up to the house with the idea of burglarizing the home. They see the camera. Their first thought is, to Dana's point, I'm going to rip that camera off the wall, not realizing because they're too dumb to not crime.
This is why everyone needs the subscription, by the way. And we had a police officer call in on this program several months ago who said, whatever you do, please just pay the $5, because he says there's times that we will go and say, look, a crime was just committed here. Do you have the video? And most people don't.
And now we're back to the Dana and Park team's discussion.
And I'm not a detective. I'm not in law enforcement, never have been. Wouldn't have a clue. But a couple of things that just crossed my mind. How do we even know that the suspect or suspects drove into that neighborhood? We don't know that. They could have walked in.
And walked an 84-year-old woman with mobility issues out?
Here's the other thing, and I said this to both of you during the break. I'm not a crimer, but if I was, and if I were to use a car, there are two things I'm not taking to my
crime.
Would-be crime scene. Number one is a license plate on my car, okay? Number two, and this is the bigger one, my cell phone. I don't know why dumb criminals haven't figured this out. You don't take your cell phone to the crime. Because people can track
They're smart enough, Scott, that they made this woman leave her watch and cell phone behind.
Mm-hmm.
So that also would say to me they did not have any sort of traceable phone. If they were smart enough to say, you're taking your watch off, because we know the watch was disconnected from communicating with her pacemaker at 2 a.m. That's why they think she left that house against her will at 2 a.m. You mean to tell me there's not a single surveillance camera, and this is in Tempe, correct?
No, Tucson.
In all of Tucson, this is how they got Brian Koberger. They knew there was this weirdo white car.
Yeah, but he also brought his cell phone.
Then they were able to follow the movements of that car, and it at least narrows it down. They don't even have a car. It's been 4 days.
Dana.
And really quickly with the Apple Watch, I would be willing to bet they didn't tell her to take it off. Most people don't sleep with those on.
If hers is connected to her pacemaker, I wonder if she did, Sam. I would. If I had a pacemaker.
You guys don't see it, do you?
What?
You would have to know for her, if the suspects told her to leave her watch behind, because her pacemaker did ping on that watch at 2 a.m. Now, to your point, Sam, maybe she had it on her nightstand. Okay? To your point, Dana, maybe because of her severe heart or health issues, she had it on her wrist. It doesn't matter. How would you know that she has a pacemaker?
You wouldn't, but you would know, Scott, that she was wearing a watch that could be tracked and traced. Everybody has their elderly mom on Life 360.
I think it's less about the connection to the pacemaker, and the watch doesn't make the pacemaker work, so there would be no reason for her to sleep with it on for the pacemaker to be continuing to work. It's just a monitoring mechanism for the pacemaker.
I want to be very clear. I'm just spitballing.
I know, but I'm saying, Sam, like, you know how sometimes people, when they go on bike rides, they wear those watches because if you fall, it will call 911 and your emergency contact. I'm just saying, if I was 84, I would sleep with that watch on because if my heart stopped with known heart problems, I would want emergency services to know she lived alone.
You guys are painting it like it's some 007 spy movie.
No, I don't think it's 007. I think it's a robbery.
Then what was taken?
Just Mrs. Guthrie.
For what purpose?
If we believe the ransom demand that bizarrely went to TMZ... they want money.
Why did the ransom demand go to TMZ on a Tuesday when she went missing on a Saturday night into Sunday morning?
I don't know.
There's no point returning somebody dead. Nobody's going to pay ransom for a dead person. Well, they might, but not the amount of money you would pay for them to be alive. So why would whoever did this... And I'm with you, Dana. I'm fascinated by this story. It's as tragic as it is intriguing. But if you kidnapped an elderly woman whom you knew was related to Savannah Guthrie, who is worth millions and millions of dollars, one of the most famous news personalities in America, why would you wait 48 hours to demand a ransom? And how much do they want? TMZ, I don't think, went into detail about how much they wanted.
They just said millions in cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
A few notes here. On Friday, the FBI and the Pima County Sheriff's Office said they were aware of a new message regarding the Guthrie ransom. NBC News reported that it wasn't yet clear what kind of message it was and if it was connected to the previously reported ransom notes.
One FBI profiler says Nancy Guthrie was selected for abduction.
I believe it.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but look at it this way, Scott. If she wasn't, if this was just a crime of opportunity, if it was a robbery, wouldn't you come face to face with the 84-year-old woman with mobility issues if this was just a random robbery and go, you know what? We're not even going to try to haul her out of here. There's no way.
The sheriff said today, and he said it yesterday as well, she couldn't walk 50 yards without assistance.
Well, keep in mind, guys, 90% of these abductions that happen in this world are by somebody that the victim knows. So it's possible that this is some distant relative that knew that she had a pacemaker, that knew that the watch was connected to it. If we're throwing out,
Sam,
all the possibilities here.
You were saying what I was trying to hint at a little while ago.
Okay.
When I said...
is it someone on the inside?
How did this person know, assuming she was wearing her watch? We don't,
right.
And we don't know that. Let's be clear. But if she was wearing her watch, how would they know to tell her to take it off?
Because I think anyone would know that. Anyone would go, oh, that's a smart watch. Get rid of it. This is the other possibility that I've seen chatter about, which makes all the sense in the world. If it's not some 007 mastermind that let's do this and ask for Bitcoin from Savannah Guthrie, it's someone who worked in her house, who knew the layout
in
of the house.
In mom's house.
A worker, a handy person, a cable installer. I mean, my gosh, the number of people that could have been in and out of any of those, any house. Think about it.
But here's what there are so many things.
Why
about this.
Why take her, though?
I was just going to go there. This is what I don't understand. There have been hints, although not officially confirmed, which is to say by the sheriff, that there was blood at the scene.
A small amount, I'm reading.
Okay. To your point, and it's a great one, Dana, why would you take somebody from their home that's only going to slow you down if it was a robbery? Now, if it's a ransom, obviously... I'm trying to think like a criminal, which is kind of hard. If it's a ransom demand, you have to take her. even though she can't walk. I mean, there were pictures on the news of, you know, all these times Savannah Guthrie and her mom were on the set of the Today Show. And there's one that I remember in particular where her mom is standing with a walking cane.
Yes, I've seen it.
I mean, so this lady clearly needed assistance walking. And unless it's ransom, why even take the person with you? She's only going to slow you down.
Makes no sense, does it?
No, it does not.
The Mark Cox Morning Show on 97.1 The Talk in St. Louis also discussed the Guthrie case this week. Specifically, they talked about a report from journalist Ashley Banfield. This report alleged that Nancy Guthrie's son-in-law was a suspect in the case. Now, Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos has called Banfield's reporting, quote, reckless, according to The Hollywood Reporter. That outlet also said that Banfield stands by her reporting. Let's hear the Mark Cox team's take on it.
Ashley Banfield is the one that's reporting this, though, right?
Right. She's saying that Nancy Guthrie's son-in-law might be the prime suspect. So Savannah Guthrie's sister is married to this guy who they're now saying could be behind this, that all the cameras were smashed out at her home. And if you think about it, I would imagine Nancy Guthrie's home would have been very secure with a lot of cameras pointed in various directions. So you would have to know where to walk up that may not be on camera in order to smash all the cameras. It kind of makes sense.
They were the last to see her. We knew that. Apparently they have, according to Ashley Banfield, they have towed the sister's car, which investigators believe has some connection to the disappearance.
Well, they would have potentially taken Nancy in that car.
Well, that's true. They were the last to see her because they dropped her off that night, supposedly.
Have her DNA.
And there's still the deal with the so-called ransom note, but none of this is official from authorities. This is all reporting that Ashley Banfield is doing on this right now through TMZ, apparently. So I'm just prefacing that it is TMZ. I've not seen that on any other news site. It's just the first update we've gotten all day on that.
Here's what I want to know. It says Nancy's family is the one who called police Sunday after she didn't show up to church that morning because she's always at church. I wonder if it was the sister Annie who called the cops, because it would then even be weirder, but kind of makes sense if Annie was actually behind her disappearance and her husband took her, but then she was the one who was trying to play it off like, I'm so worried my mom didn't show up to church.
I guess we could always draw the conclusion that Annie didn't know anything about it and he acted independently. I mean, we just don't know.
Maybe.
But TMZ has now got a headline that says the brother-in-law could be a prime suspect.
Well, she had dinner supposedly with her mom Saturday night, and then around 2 a.m. is when Nancy's Apple Watch stopped syncing.
Yeah.
So they're thinking that could be maybe the time she was taken.
Chad Hartman and Jason DeRusha of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities also discussed the Guthrie case this week. They focused on yet another angle: when and why some disappearance cases get coverage while others don't. For example, the high rates of missing and murdered Indigenous people, particularly women, don't always get as much coverage in the U.S. as other types of cases. Here's Hartman and DeRusha's talk.
Let's talk a little Nancy Guthrie here.
Oof,
Nancy Guthrie,
so sad. Oh,
the mom of Savannah Guthrie. You nailed it. It's such a sad, sad story. Combination of the Pima County Sheriff and the FBI held a lengthy press conference. Apparently, the ransom note has only been sent to the media, not to the family. They broke down when Ring cameras went off. They broke down how the family was alerted with the mom's pacemaker and connection to phone, that blood was found, you know, outside of her house. It's a horrifying story. But I'm seeing this part of the conversation. We talked about it briefly, too. Where are you at on, sadly, in the next day or two, there's going to be another mom or dad who are taken from a home, and we're not going to get CNN covering it. We're not going to have Fox covering it. We're not going to have the president talking about it. Where do you stand when people bring that up and hopefully say with empathy and compassion, I'm very sorry what's happened, but why aren't we doing more of this about other individuals who don't have a daughter who's as visible as Savannah?
Yeah. Well, this is highly rare. Like, I don't think you have this sort of scenario happening, you know. But we've seen this conversation about missing people in general. And it's a fair critique. But I do think some of this is the fact that shine the light on what you choose to pay attention to. So not you, Chad Hartman, but you, the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Celebrity drives attention and clicks, and that is the world we're in now. So I don't fault the media. I don't fault the president for sending Cash Patel and the FBI in. I do think you could make a case that if this was indeed like a targeted scenario because of Savannah Guthrie,
it's different then.
It's different. And you don't really know. We don't really know what it is, right?
I don't.
Yeah. It is true. I would feel, I would be mad if my mom, my elderly mom, wandered away from home. But the truth is,
furious.
Like, those things do get coverage. They get, you get, like, the silver alert in many different states. You know, does this national coverage, does it make a difference in solving things? Or is it just national coverage? I don't know. I don't know about that either.
I think more often, though, Jason, if there's this much national coverage, you then have more law enforcement officials involved.
Yeah,
and that's
yep, that's fair.
Part of what troubles people. And
life's not fair, though,
this.
Right? Life is not fair. So we can all be sad
isn't,
about
but
it's just not.
You would hope, okay? You would hope the pursuit of your mother, or your grandmother, or your dad, or your grandfather would be fair. Would be equal.
You would hope that if it was you, but it's also very naive, isn't it? Like, that is not the world. It just isn't. Some people have better lawyers. Some police departments are more resourced and are better. Like, everything's always different.
That's true. And there's no doubt that our legal system in particular, if you have wealth, you're in a better position.
No doubt.
Often, not every time, but often, if you're white, you have a better opportunity.
Also true,
the pursuit of an 84-year-old woman who needs daily medication, you would want that to be more equitable.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
listen, TV, there is a news element, there's an entertainment element, and there's a ratings element.
Yeah.
And when people can identify with Savannah Guthrie and then you add to it with that heart-wrenching video of the three kids led by Savannah, they're going to cover it. They just are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, you know, there was, I think, very valid criticism about the fact that there's a certain look of missing person that gets more attention, right?
For
like
sure.
The beautiful white woman gets more
Correct.
Attention. And I think it's true. And so if you are the next old person, next one up, who gets kidnapped in this sort of a scenario, you are probably also going to get coverage because the media will be sensitive to some of the criticism. It's the one after that that goes back into the being ignored.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, the Dana and Parks Podcast out of KMBZ in Kansas City, the Mark Cox Morning Show out of 97.1 The Talk in St. Louis, and the Chad Hartman Show out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities. You can find these stations on the Odyssey app. You can also find these true crime roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline Podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry Podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.